Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 130. I am recording this with a couple of guests. We're just doing a free-for-all talking with Leslie Earl Lyman. Not a serial killer. also sitting in with me and Les today is Catfish Atelli, the business development manager, director. I forget. He tells you what his title is. It's longer than his hair. At the Prescott Valley Event Center. And also Drew Reinowitz. Drew Rein, who is now a nationally touring performer based out of Nashville, but her hometown is Chino Valley, also where I live. She spent her childhood here and at the age of 14 was thrust into the national spotlight as a contestant on The X Factor and a Simon Cowell favorite.
Which she killed.
And she will be performing tonight here at the Prescott Valley Event Center. We are here for the Voila or Voila. It's
Voila. It's Voila. Voila.
That's Catfish.
It's
pronounced
French.
It weird.
Yeah, but he's like, dude, he's Catfish. What kind of a good source is this?
This is the Voila Tour. France comes to Arizona featuring X Factor. X Factor star Drew Reinowitz. She will be performing along with, and I'm going to butcher them. I'm not even going to try. The Voila Tour at the Prescott Valley Event Center. It's a French immersion event where they are serving up a fine dining, however many stars you can get, that's what they got. They've got French chefs. They have, like
bottles
we said,
of wine.
Like we said, Drew will be performing along with the French X Factor star. And I'm going to butcher the names. I'll post the picture. You could see them yourself. You could see the poster yourself and try and pronounce them yourself. But French musicians, both in the classic blues that has become so popular in Europe, American blues they'll be playing. We got to hear them play some sound checks. We've got a couple of full bands as well as some individual performers and a French hip-hop artist. Well, this tour is the first one to come here to Prescott Valley. They have been around the area for this week performing in and around Prescott to promote the show, as well as Sedona. I think they're leaving to Sedona tonight. So anyway, listen to the show. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, Catfish. Thanks, Les. And thank you to Drew. And thanks Ken Byers, for not sitting down with us. We'll try and get Ken
on.
We'll try and get Ken on mic at some point soon. But sit back and listen to episode 130, recorded at the Prescott Valley Event Center, brought to you by Amazon, BarkBox, and Audible. The links and codes for that to show your support for the Mile High Show are right there at milehighshow.com. Look at the use those links. Shop, get things free, have some fun, get a free download from Audible, and free gifts for your furry friends through BarkBox, and use those links to support the show. Sit back and listen to episode 130, recorded at the Voila Tour French immersion event at the Prescott Valley Event Center. Thanks for listening.
See, the best part about this is Matt records all this stuff, right, for you know, blackmail later, you know.
Oh, no, yeah, it's on. So the great marketing here, I took a picture of the poster in the lobby, in the elevator, so I could know
elevator.
What we're talking about.
Oh, cool.
You got Wi-Fi here yet? Or do I got to pay for it?
You got to pay for it, man.
Man.
Because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Huh?
I wonder if, like...
This is the... Here, Kat. God, do you mind? Terrible. What are you, texting your girlfriend?
Yeah, I am.
Or is that not for public consumption yet?
I don't know yet.
The Voila Tour. France comes to Arizona. Now, the big graphic here, the big photo is of Drew Reinowitz, Valley native. She was doing some warm-up when we came in, I think.
You recording now?
He's been recording.
Since before you got up here.
That's going on the internet, dude.
So give me Cat, Mr. Satish Catfish.
I've been drinking rosé wine.
you didn't bring us any, man. It's like...
Hey,
what's
going on? What's going on here? We got Drew that was playing, but we've also got some... what sounded like some really hardcore blues until the guy started talking, and
we
he's
have
from the deep south of France, I think.
The south, south. The south is the south everywhere you go.
I'm from South America, South Texas.
Y'all.
So officially, this is Voila Tour. France comes to Arizona. How did this end up here? How did we end up with this treat?
So actually, there's six performances, and they range all from kind of hip hop from Drew to rock and roll. Gaye, I think it's how you pronounce her name. Bunswell is like a top performer. She actually plays all around the world. She sounds like Melissa Etheridge, man. She was jamming earlier. Her band is really good. They're awesome. And then we got blues is what you're looking at right now. They're doing a sound check.
Cuddy. Which is a great reference for an audio podcast.
Yeah, take a look at
that. That's what
we're
looking at.
So everybody in Matt's audience, Les, go ahead and take a look.
Les, we've got a spare mic here. Why don't you point the mic at the stage we could see what we're looking
at. Yeah, we need to see what we're looking at. What you're looking
at. Dude, like, radio doesn't work that way. I'm just,
So this was explained when we talked a couple of months ago as you were solidifying this, you goober. A French immersion. This is a whole experience kind of melding our Southwest United States up with some French artists and French art. Oh, I guess, yeah. Even the chefs are artists.
Yeah, in all honesty, it's actually a really cool thing. It's a beautiful thing. You see that down in the larger metropolitan areas. They have like Greek Fest, German Fest, all that kind of stuff. So this is a French version of that. Alan came to us almost a year ago. He really likes this area, likes Sedona, and we really wanted to use our building.
Nice.
And bring a taste of France to Arizona. He's kind of fascinated a little bit with the Arizona culture in particular.
That's a big motivator in European countries. We get a lot of European, Eastern European, German, French, Italian coming through, experiencing modern-day Southwest culture. I noticed when I was with ADOT, we used to see that. They would come in. Getting info on motorcycle tours and stuff for the canyon, cruising Route 66.
I think it's just the image of the true Southwest, the cowboys,
the mystique
American,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, you got the New Yorker and you got the cowboy, right? So that's the difference. But, Alan, who's the promoter of the show, really has, he's got his life savings invested in this, and there's actually some amazing talent here. In France, these people are all very well known. Obviously, in Prescott Valley, it's a difficult sell, but we're kind of blessed to share the culture he's doing. So we have a 5-star chef here from France preparing a high-end 4-course dinner.
Now, is this a stop on a tour, or is this an isolated event for the States? Is he taking this on the road?
This is the first year of a tour that he would like to come back every single year with.
Nice. Are they taking this elsewhere after they pack up here in Prescott Valley?
Yeah, so this whole week they've separated. Each act has gone to a different location to help promote the show. From the painters going to art galleries. You saw some of the blues guys were down like at the Raven and Gabby's and that kind of stuff hitting downtown. They're going from here tonight to Sedona for another smaller show. This is the showcase of the week for the Voila Tour. So if it all goes well, he really wants to do this over and over again and actually maybe have a stop here, stop in Scottsdale, stop in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Tahoe, that kind of stuff, and kind of carry it through. But this is his first run. In France, he does this tour and is very successful. Again, everybody knows these folks, so he's trying to bring it from France to the U.S.
I'm going to pull some links because this is all new to me. I not trying to be joking about it, but everything I know about Europe and European culture I get from movies and TV.
Sure.
So I'm going to do a little research. I want to pull some of these names because when we talked a few months ago, that phone call we had when you introduced me to this event, he was saying how these are some of the true artists out of France. You know, these guys are really well known, the musicians and that. Now, you as the business development manager, is that your official title here with the event center?
Yes. Sort of director of business development. Yeah,
the wearer of many hats,
the wearer of many hats and berets.
The berets tonight, but this you were mentioning before we.
You know the kind you find in a secondhand store.
You're a prince among men. You were saying before we plugged in these mics here that you you're officially not working tonight. You're going to be down there and enjoying the show, enjoying the dinner. What is on your literally on your plate for tonight? What do you know what, or is it going to be a surprise?
I do know. It's a very rare thing, as you know, for me not to work a show. So,
and I was joking. I was saying, even though you're not working, you're going to be still got your finger on the pulse to make sure everything runs smooth. Well, I know you.
I will, for sure.
Yeah.
But this is a, I mean, I was real skeptical too, and then I've gone out for a couple of the different functions. And
the surrounding ones leading up to
I mean,
it,
these are really, really talented musicians and people. And so when I started, I was skeptical like everybody else.
Yeah.
And when I went to the first show, I'm like, wow, like this is one of the, I really want to kind of sit down and watch the show.
So what are you going to be, what's on, you got your, you got the itinerary up
there. I'm a foodie, so I love food. Ah. So it's a 4-course meal by Chef Pierre Gall. Does that make any sense? I think she won a Michelin star or something in France. That's it. Like, it's a big deal.
No, it is. Yeah, I'll pull it up. Like I said, I this is all when you're as uncultured as me, everything impresses me. I'm impressed by less.
Less fell asleep over there.
Well, you know,
he still got his microphone pointed.
I'm just like watching the sound check because that's like that's something I understand.
At heart, Les is a sound guy and a musician.
And a food guy. I'm interested in the foodie thing here.
The foodie thing. So it's very French, obviously. So it's a 4-course meal. Let's see. Starting off, it's a duet of salmon. And the first one's in chives and cream cheese. And then there's a salmon confit with in beet juice, which I sampled. It's really unusual. I don't know if you know what confit is.
No, yeah. I don't.
So basically you're immersion cooking. You're cooking it in the beet juice, basically.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But it surprised me. And it was like
beets kind of sweet. So that's going to be yummy.
It was really good. I tried a piece of it. And then the second course is really high-end beef. It's a beef tenderloin Rossini, so that's almost like a medallion of beef.
Now, I don't know who you got that will be that have got tickets to this that are attending, but people in this area know their beef. This is a cattle country. It has been for generations and generations. But this is a whole new play on the staple that comes from Arizona.
And this is part of what Alan's vision is to do is not just to throw France in your face. That's a tongue twister. But his vision tonight is to combine the cultures together. So it's actually using Arizona beef.
Nice. And so a little melding of cultures.
So from the plate to the music, actually we have
where's
a Native American.
Where's he getting the beef from? Where's that coming
from? Him and Jimmy got it. I think it's off a local ranch, or it might be off the Fane Ranch, actually.
Could be, yeah. Could be.
There's a couple of people that do grass-fed, well, what we have for grass out here.
Yeah.
Anyway. But
so the melding of the cultures for the menu is also reflected in the entertainment with, like we said, Drew's coming
some
up.
Some ingredients of Drew's here, and then they actually have a Native American flutist that's going to be here.
Beautiful.
Daniel, I think it's Daniel Hatch, I think is his name. Maybe.
Go on with the food. We'll
okay.
Well, yeah, we'll,
and he's
on
here.
With
you can,
the food.
You can talk to on with the food.
Yes.
Then of course they're going to do the Arizona beef with foie gras. I don't know if you've ever heard foie gras.
That is that liver?
No, it's duck fat.
It's duck liver, but it's really, really, really good.
Really,
it is
really
like
rich.
It's not really duck liver. Like foie gras is
duck fat.
It's goose.
Yeah,
goose.
The way they make it is they feed the goose a special diet that makes the makes it yummy.
You like bacon? So foie gras.
Hey, you don't come across this body by accident.
So you just put this. Put this in American terms, foie gras is like really, really, really good bacon. Like it's that just
goose bacon.
That
goose
real rich, bacon. Rich, fatty, yummy.
Oh,
just,
it's good.
It's like meat cotton candy.
My association
with... You put a
piece
of that in and it just melts away.
My association with French cuisine ends and begins with toast and fries.
Oh, that's good.
French toast
frites.
And French fries.
He does have toast. Yeah. There is some bread.
Palms frites.
I learned that.
Third course is peanut butter and jelly.
I learned that on on Mr. Rogers when I was a youngster. Pomfrey.
They didn't have TV when you were young. Yeah.
Going through Canada and to get Pomfrey.
No, yeah, I'm too old for TV. Mr. Rogers would just come to my living room and perform. Yeah. He would change his clothes. Well, you know what? I'm not sure. It was a guy named Mr. Rogers that lived down the street, and he would come to my house and take off clothes and then put on clothes. I thought it was the TV guy, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was a guy who liked to take his clothes off in my living room.
I sense repressed memory. I'm just, you know.
Captain Kangaroo.
It's repressed memory
Mr.
there.
Mr. Rogers, I thought it ended in a sweater. Put your pants back on.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, there'll be a cease and desist letter out of that one.
And on the next item for the menu.
America's beloved icon who has passed away.
Is that Marnie?
That is Marnie. She's going to be the MC.
Oh, Marnie Yule. So
turn another mic and let's get a picture of Marnie. On the mic.
I have often been told that if you are trying to reach Marnie and you can't find her, just go to any parking lot, set up a mic, and she'll show up at any moment.
Hi, Marnie.
Actually, that was told to me about our supervisor, Craig Brown.
Oh, okay.
This is how you tell people and like love you around here is that they mock you on Matt's podcast.
What's next on the menu?
Ratatouille. Right. True French.
Patton
Oswalt's going to be here. I have a story for that.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. There's no structure here.
For Ratatouille?
Yeah.
So... in that movie, or actually, she is on the show. Voila Tour, Ratatouille is fantastic. Like I tried it, and it's like out of this world. Like it's so good. It's the best thing on the menu. It's even better than the beef. So that movie, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah,
you know I was with the airlines a while ago, right? You knew that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, no, you know. You know that character in that movie is named Remy, same as my daughter.
Yeah.
So
are you serious?
I was in the back of the plane talking to Patton Oswalt for like an hour. Showed him pictures of my kids and everything. And he said he's working on this new animation movie, blah, blah, blah. We're just talking. And so I pull out my photos. I'm proud of my kids. I'm showing pictures of my kids. Yeah. And he's like, what's their names? And I said, this is my son Luke and my daughter Angie and my daughter Remy. And he's like, Remy. He said it like 10 times over and over. That's a really good name. He's like, how do you spell it? And I told him how to spell it. And sure as can be, a year and a half later, the title character is Remy.
Oh, wow.
Call it coincidence? I don't know.
You heard it here first.
Call it coincidence. I don't know. But
nice.
That's
nice
all I got
tie-in.
For Patton.
Well, maybe you need to get some of that mailbox money out of that movie.
I know. Every time I try to call Patton, he doesn't call me back.
Well, there's that.
He's been going through a lot lately.
He's gone through a lot lately.
Yeah, he's having, he's probably a little busy.
You heard about his wife, right?
No.
His wife died this past summer.
Well, I didn't know that.
Very unexpected.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well,
that sucks.
Hilarious guy. Met him many years. He used to come
to the Valley all the time. Yeah.
In San Francisco, he was doing clubs out there for a lot of years in based out of San Francisco, and I would see him performing, you know, the meet and greets and stuff. But
he used to come out here and do with what's his name, Caliendo.
I like
Caliendo out of Phoenix. Yeah.
The great thing about Patton is that when there was that Carlos Mencia thing going on, he came up with this thing he put out. I forget where it was on, but it was really pretty much basically about, you know, it's almost like doing other people's material versus doing your own.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just like this big walloping dose of wisdom for people that do any kind of performance art or
any
art
artistic
in general.
Endeavors.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, because it's really easy. It's really easy to copy somebody, right? You know, and particularly comics have it worse than anybody because anybody can steal their stuff.
I tell you, he is one of the most prolific writers in the entertainment industry. He comes up, like you're saying, Les, he comes up with these very insightful essays on different things, and then he goes and gets as silly as can be. It's just
that's the only way he can really stand himself, dude.
Really interesting character.
Because like if you're that deep, you have to be silly someplace.
So what else you got, Kat? We're not done with the menu yet.
Salad with ranch. No, I'm just kidding.
Bad mayonnaise.
No, there's a lot of courses, so it keeps going. They make they're making a very high end salad, a arugula salad. With a variety of special cheeses and their own vinaigrette and that kind of stuff, and then
no wonder you're eating here tonight.
Yeah, and just smelling this stuff all week, and then Chef Gall's husband is like a world famous bread and pastry chef, so all the bread here is homemade, and he's been baking it all week, and all that smell goes right up my office.
And we will be up here, Les, with water stolen out of the press box, and
because that's how we roll,
and
man.
Some
that's
goldfish crackers I have in my camera
that's
bag.
How we roll.
Hang on, let me make a call real quick.
Hey, Scott, could you take the water out of the press box?
There's none left.
I don't want Santos and those podcast guys to take it.
We took it all. As a matter of fact, there used to be a coat rack up there, but I needed one at home. I've tried to get you to change that to the M. Santos Memorial Press Box for years, but he said I have to die first. So
I can help. So well, I can help you with that.
I was going to say we should see that sign change any day now. The way I've been feeling.
Yeah. Dude, well, don't do that. That's going to be creepy later on.
Oh, no, I got a story about that. Well, after Catfish leaves, because I know he's all excited, he's got a fancy dinner to go to.
And a date, man.
I did have a bit of a scare she after our L.A. trip, Les. I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
So then we got music, blues. We have a Native American flutist that's going to play with some of the French artists. So kind of meld that stuff. And then Drew's here, too.
What a neat experience for folks like myself. Because, we, you know, like I said, a lot of us, what we get out of or what we get in relation to other cultures is through media. Mm-hmm. And that's great because a lot of us can't afford to travel or go, you know, go to the higher end restaurants and things. So what a neat experience to bring this right to our town and open it up for the public to come in and enjoy, not just the music, but the food and everything else. Granted, in our area, in the Quad Cities area, there are a lot of folks around here who are well-versed in the arts and retired folks who can travel and things, but the bulk of us...
It's been a pretty hard sale. It's something a little bit different for this area, but it's sure... nonetheless, like you said, it's what educational, treat, it's man. Fun, it's a yeah, we're blessed to have
and,
it.
And ideally, hopefully, if they come back next year, we're going to see another 30-40% more tables out there, more seats, more people, more ticket sales. So what a neat experience for folks to be able to partake in and witness out here. It's going to be neat. I'm looking forward to it.
No, it's definitely good. And like I said, the quality of the music's really good, too. So do you know about Fanny? She's walking right there. Everybody has a microphone, can see her. I think that's Fanny. Maybe not.
With the white shoes?
Oh, no, that's the daughter. So Fanny was like in the top five of the X Factor in France.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
So this is the blending of the X Factors.
That's it. So nice. I was the one that suggested Drew and put the two together.
So very nice.
Drew can blame me.
which Drew are you? Which
Drew Reinowitz.
Drew Reinowitz.
Chino Valley native.
Okay. She goes with Drew Rin now.
Yeah, Drew Rin.
There are many Drew. You know, many faces of Drew.
Yeah, I bump into Drew Andy quite a bit in Chino. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Andy and Roberta not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I've
been wanting to get Drew to, next time she was in town, to come do this podcast, but she's got talent and taste, so I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I will text her now.
Ah!
We'll see.
Let's fill some space while I text her.
Well, you got to see, Matt, that they kind of like bad movies, you know. They like bad movies, and they like, you know, they like bad art and stuff like that. This is where you come in. You fill that area for people that have that need for, you know, the Velvet Elvis paintings.
I'm like the traffic accident. You can't stop. Exactly. You can't help yourself for stopping and looking at.
So you serve a function in the art world. Man. You know, come on.
You serve.
We saw Wes Williams with Prescott Pro Sound down there, and of course the famous Wes Williams
band.
The
infamous Wes Williams.
We saw him out in the parking lot, and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And I told him, I says, "Wes, I've been following you for like 6 months now. You haven't noticed."
Can you sign my chest? Could you sign my chest?
No. We're not going to tell you that, man.
He'd need a bigger pen.
I got one. Where'd he go?
Here, right here.
Like a big Sharpie.
I got my autograph
Sharpie. Well, my recorder fell on the floor, so I guess the show's over.
Oh. Nice.
I've got my autograph
Sharpie.
Way to go,
Sharpie. Dude. Way to go.
So far, all
right, well, hey.
Wait, we've listened to tuning guitars for 45 minutes.
Well, you know, welcome to Soundcheck,
there's,
man.
There's
you know.
Scott. Oh, I thought it was a
test,
dead show.
Test, toast, test, toast.
I thought it was a Grateful Dead show. Oh.
Whoa.
What was that band, Hot Tuna or something like that?
You mean from a movie or the band Hot Tuna from the band, Woodstock? The
jam band.
They were a jam band. They were the first jam band. Yeah, they were like, people described that band as being so bad they were good.
That's the correct band I was referring to.
I want to take that.
Thank you, Les.
I'm going to start putting that on the Mile High Show podcast business cards. No, the podcast's so bad it's almost good.
It comes out the other side.
Did you hear that? That radio station in Phoenix that says,
every radio station sucks.
And then they go,
we just suck a little less.
I think that's awesome.
And you know, can you imagine the guy making the pitch to like for that to ad, advertise like that? Look, I want to do this, and they were like, "Are you sure?" Yeah, our audience will love it. They are really? It sounds counterintuitive. No, they'll completely get.
Probably
it.
Had a really light voice. Hey guys, we should really try this. It just doesn't. Every radio station sucks. We just suck a little left. Matt, can you do this with a DJ voice?
No, every radio station.
Oh, sorry. Well, it makes a world of difference.
Where's that edit button?
So, welcome back to the Catfish and Les show. We have a special guest.
Special guest, Matt Santos.
Matt Santos.
He's our color guy and sound guy. He's our engineer.
Be no part of this broadcast.
So tell me, Matt. Tell me a little bit. So about Chino Valley and the show.
We are a podcast. We are in Chino Valley. That pretty much says it all.
But we're not really in Chino Valley currently, are we? I mean, like, because
will be when I'm editing this, I will be editing it heavily. Hey, Catfish,
you're right there.
Now, we've got some exciting new stuff that's going on with the event center itself.
We do.
Tell me about it.
Does she want to come up?
She knows you're sitting next to me. She ain't coming up here.
Does she not like you?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
That's Dylan. Her.
Nobody likes Matt.
Put it this way: I'm not on her radar. I did bump it.
Thanks for that, dude. That was awesome.
That was good.
I bumped into her at the post office, and she sent me a tweet.
Oh, she bumped. She tweeted you?
Yeah.
She. Cool. I got like 900 likes from her today, from her fans. I give her green M&Ms.
See, man, this is where one of those laser pens would come in handy. You know, just like that.
Tell me what's going on with the event center. We got some new personnel that I creepily walked in and going to your office, and so, I saw him sitting off to the side. I did not introduce myself, though.
So we have a brand new general manager. His name is Scott Norton. He comes with quite a few years of experience. Let's see. Dylan.
She's taking pictures, looks like.
Yeah, they can come up. There we go. I'll get her on the show. See? I'm influential.
It's now the catfish show.
It's what? Dylan and Drew. Dylan.
Why are you trying to convince us, man?
Okay, so Scott Norton's our new GM.
Yeah.
And he comes from Global Spectra or Spectra.
Les, slide over another chair.
Consulting with Spectra.
I don't think I can.
No, I'll get up so she can.
You're going to stay on too.
I can't really, dude. I have no more. I have, like, no more this, do I?
Oh.
I think I'm out.
I'll get you Dylan in there.
Just make a space, sir.
I'm trying.
I'm just. Yeah, so, but you grab a chair, though. Physically,
anyway, we have a bright future ahead.
What's he? He's in like a week, though. He just started. So we're looking for some exciting stuff. Don't run away, Les. Scott, Catfish. Don't run away. You got to stay on.
Welcome to the Santos Show.
Miss Drew, how are you?
We're doing a podcast. Would you like to do the
podcast? I actually saw you standing on the side of the road the other day. What was that about?
No, I did that a lot.
No. Good to see you. No, you don't.
Yeah. For the funeral procession, whatever.
Yes, it was. Good to see you. How are you, Matt?
Am I grabbing these?
Yeah, yes. He wants you to wear this. Catfish got tired of talking with me, so he waved you up.
I find that extremely difficult to believe that he got tired of talking. I'm just saying. He's a man after my own heart. So she give it back.
So Drew is lending legitimacy to my podcast now. How have you been?
Oh my gosh, we got one listener now.
Oh
we got
one. So are you saying I only have one fan?
And it won't be my mom. tip that mic in for her. Get in there nice and close. Just bend it in.
All right, there we go. Is that better?
Yeah. So, what's new? Where we? You have been extremely busy, young lady.
I have. So I recently moved. I mean, I say recently because I'm barely there, but I recently moved to Nashville. So I've been there songwriting. He's like, we're in Arizona. Let's not talk about that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's good.
But no, I moved to Nashville as a songwriter. So I have just been songwriting and working on my next album, and it'll be a full album this time.
Nice, nice. Now, what you had a release with?
She's very sparkly right now.
Very sparkly.
Very sparkly.
There's as much glitter coming off of her shoulders and forearms than there is off the top of my head in bright sunlight.
I'm pretty sure that there are no more sequins left on the planet. They've just all gone.
So what has your experience been like over the last couple of years? You have just skyrocketed through letting your talent shine throughout the country, as we knew you had right here in the Quad Cities, Chino Valley, Prescott area.
Oh, well, thank you.
What has been going on with you? What kind of experiences have you had?
I have been touring pretty much nonstop. I joined an anti-bullying tour about almost 2 years ago. A little over, actually, maybe by now. As you can see, I don't know anything about time. I just think, no, I'm just kidding. But no, I've been doing a lot of anti-bullying work, which is something coming off of The X Factor I dealt with a lot. Just people, strangers all over the world. And so we go to high schools and middle schools and talk to them about what it's like to be successful but still have experienced what they feel they're alone in.
Yeah. Now, with you coming to the national spotlight and now the international spotlight, at a really young age, you were still in school when all this was going on with the X Factor and you're touring. Did you feel yourself kind of becoming like a spokesman for teenage girls, teenagers in general?
Absolutely. I think being 14, it gave me the opportunity to show other young people, guys and girls, that you can go out and chase your dreams before you're 18. It's not always about going to college or after college. You can start early. And that's what I've been doing. And I'm still early. Everything I do, I feel like I'm like 80 years old by now.
Well, that would bring you almost up to me. And right around Les there. Drew, you have not met Les Lyman over here.
He is trying to be quiet, trying to stay out of the way. So like, when I talk, I get yelled at. When I don't talk, I get yelled at.
Is this podcast going to take long? Because I'm missing Murder, She Wrote right now. I don't want to miss Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Comes on right after People.
Les is a local musician that performs, singer-songwriter here in Prescott and out in the Verde and everything. Very, very talented musician. And he just looks like a serial killer.
He owes me money. That's why he's saying that stuff. It's like,
but when you were really thrust into the national spotlight a few years back, it was such a pleasure for us in the community because, you know, Chino Valley is not, you know, everybody knows Phoenix. A lot of folks know Prescott because of the old history that surrounds this area, but Chino Valley is really a speck on the map, and you really brought the focus onto our area, which was exciting for all of us. But what was the excitement like for you going from such a small area, a small school? You were attending where at the time?
Trinity Christian, private school.
Yeah.
Six kids in my class.
That's where my kids went.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, yes.
Awesome.
Like, yes, they were graduated though. Like they've been graduated for a while.
I probably knew them. I was one of the first 30 students at the school.
You know Kelsey? Kelsey and Amanda Lynn?
Oh, we weren't in the same class, of course.
Okay, but that's my kids.
Awesome.
So you've hashed through this all the time, but forgive me because I want to know. What was it like being thrust into that large of a spotlight so fast?
Yeah. Well, first, I really loved that I came from a small town because a lot of people think that those shows are all set up, and it obviously wasn't. I mean, coming from the middle of nowhere, there's no way they could have found me.
Yeah.
And I'd never gotten out of my town with music, so it was not a setup, and I think that inspired a lot of people in small towns to chase bigger dreams. I think a lot of the time, the area you grew up in says a lot about what your dream is, and I was just kind of breaking that barrier and showing people that your dream doesn't have to do with how many people you've met in your life. You know, for me, it was six kids in my class.
Yeah.
You know, your dream could be much larger than that, or, you know, your ideas could be bigger than that. So it was awesome to be able to take it to the big spotlight from such a small place.
Yeah. You had, I remember watching it and doing some writing of your appearances on TV. I had bumped into you at Ken Byers' show one day. I was doing some pictures over there. And before you went on the air over at KPPV, you asked me something. I'm sure you don't remember this, but you asked me something about Bieber. And I knew he was a in your spotlight. He was somebody you really, really were a fan of, and then on one of the shows you got a chance to meet this young man. What was that like for you?
It was awesome. It was a goal I set for myself that if I could perform on the big stage with the biggest artist at the time, which was Justin. That was in his prime days. I mean, he's doing well now, but that was when Justin was the teen heartthrob for me as a 14-year-old. I mean, he was the best of the best to me. And I also got to be on stage with Stevie Wonder, and I had met him about a week before that. So Stevie Wonder, Justin Bieber, I was having my young person dream, and then just what I was taught by my dad my whole life to appreciate, you know, good music, classic music. Yeah. It was awesome to share the stage with incredible people.
Now, what's on your horizon now? You said you're working on a new release, the full album. What can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
Yes. Yeah, so since I've moved to Nashville, I have been doing a ton of songwriting for other artists, songwriting for me, and then a lot of DJs in electronic music have been contacting me to do the voice for their EDM projects. And so that's really big with young people. And because I do the tour in the high schools, it's perfect. I mean, they love that kind of music. Electronic music is the leading thing right now in the music industry. So some electronic music will be coming in the near, let's say, month and so on. And then my full album, and that'll be at least 10 songs. So that's
very nice.
Really
when
exciting.
Can we see that?
Hi, I don't have a date for that. Oh, looks like they're calling me.
Yeah, you got
to
get...
She has to go.
Really quick, we want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes here and letting Catfish corral you up here. It's great seeing you. And next time you see me hanging out on the highway, feel free to throw something at me through your car window.
Hey, she got green M&Ms.
Everybody else does. Why shouldn't she?
Looking forward to seeing you perform tonight. Have a great night. Yeah. And just a pleasure to see you. Thank
pleasure
you.
Pleasure
so
to be here.
Let her
thank
go,
you.
Matt. Let her go.
So what have you been doing lately?
Oh, me? Wandering about doing that stuff I do. I went over to Cottonwood and played the Bottom Line Blues Jam Thursday night. You know, just to get out of the house. Today I'm here. I was actually in Prescott. Like I was over at the Big Easy where Chris is doing his thing. You know, Chris is doing his thing at the Big Easy. Very nice backyard, kind of off the beaten path. You know, if they keep doing that stuff, I'll wander around over there. You know, last night I saw, well, you saw me, we're at the final score, and I ended up sitting in with the Front Page Blues band.
Oh, you
band.
Ended up playing with them?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, the guitar player for those guys is just, Bob is just the nicest guy.
What's his last name?
Bob, I have the slightest
idea. No, because I know him by face, but I'd never heard him play before.
Yeah. He has the nicest gear. I mean, and plus he built stuff. He actually, that amplifier on stage, I mean, he built it from a kit, but he built that. And he had just purchased that guitar he was showing me before he left. I mean, that's a 70s Tele, you know, like in very, very nice shape. It's like about, you know, it's about $3,000 or $4,000 worth of guitar, and he's like, "Hey, man, play my guitar!" You know, you gotta love that, right?
Last night, I tweeted that out that this was that was the first time I had been out and about in a while in Prescott, because for a while there we were going out quite a bit recording and stuff, and it's just, it's just been so not stressful, just so slammed work wise.
Well, it's not like you don't do 12 things to make money, you know.
Well, I tell you, I haven't talked to you. It's been a few weeks. We trade some messages back and forth, but I haven't been out and about in a long time.
No, you've been podcasting and stuff. Well, but you really haven't been wandering around, like, you know. I mean, and to be honest with you, neither have I.
And that's kind of what I was doing on the podcast before. There's Kenny Byers.
Hey, dude, how are you?
The Great White Fox.
And now everybody knows.
Kenny!
No one can hear you, dude.
Ken Byers, the...
You trying to get his attention?
Yeah, you got to... Ken Byers, the program director over at Arizona Hometown Radio Group.
He ain't looking this way.
He is the morning man on KPPV. And in arena announcer for a bunch of things up here in the past. Anyway, but what I was doing previous a lot of was, well, he's old. He's blind. It's Ken. It's Ken Myers.
This is, and he's Matt's friend.
No, Ken was really instrumental in introducing Drew Reinowitz to the community when in her early days of performing, when she was, when she was first singing at the Prescott's Got Talent and stuff like that, sponsored by his radio station, and then he used to do. Honestly, I want to sit down with Ken and get him on the podcast because he was doing a live radio remote show from a couple of restaurants. He was doing the, what's the hotel there, just south, I guess, is that south or east of Costco? The
See, man, like I have no room in my brain for that. It's that hotel.
It's changed a couple of times. So it, you don't remember where Sky got married?
Yeah, yeah.
The one across the highway, the opposite side of the highway,
other way,
and down.
Yeah, it has a swimming pool. That's all I know about. An indoor swimming pool.
Exactly. Yeah. He was doing it there at their bar and grill for a little bit, and then he did it at Fuddruckers. He was doing it certain times of the year. I believe he was doing it every week, where he would have a live audience, similar to what I've tried to copy here, and quite honestly, going to some of his shows was, I wanted to build some of our live shows around that experience, because he would have a couple of guests, he would have a live audience he would interact with, he would have a musician or a performer coming in, and when she was 13 or so, before she hit that X Factor spotlight, Ken had her on the radio, and then once she was on TV, he had her on several times after. He was the first one out here to play her initial releases and stuff. So he was really instrumental in introducing her to the surrounding community before she just shot out in the national spotlight.
It's really interesting to me that, like, you can still, you know, small radio stations, like, have been responsible for a lot of acts actually getting their initial traction. Like a pretty famous example is the Spin Doctors. You know, that, like,
where did they come out of?
Oddly enough, they came out of the New York City jam scene, which was the same scene that kind of John Popper's band, I swear,
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler, that, you know, but they came out of that scene, and they had that Little Miss Can't Be Wrong song, like, some DJ believed in it and pushed it, and, you know, it doesn't really happen much like that anymore, where you have your local DJ gets behind a song or behind your act and really pushes you, and then, you know, like, you roll the dice, come up good. You know, I mean, it's not just, and certainly not just luck. She's extremely talented, but, you know, that's how it used to be. You would get regional, and then regional, then, like, you would be able to go, you would be able to take that and, you know, get national, man.
Yeah.
And move on. And so that's really interesting, you know, that's really interesting. And that's not that long ago.
I just text Ken.
Yeah.
I saw him look at his phone and then ignore it. That's good. I used to do that with my wife when we in this arena, when we. Ken's a lot like my wife. No, this is what I texted.
You know, like, you know, now both of them are going to kill you.
No, neither of them listen to the show. We're okay.
Look, I have to tell you guys this. He literally, he goes, "Hi, handsome, I'm upstairs."
I
would have ignored that, too. What does this guy want from me?
When we first came up that elevator, when we first got in the building, that comes out right at the press box. Where the restrooms were right there, that's right outside where the press box is.
Where there never will be any water ever again.
Well, that was my office, you know, 30 weeks a year during hockey season, and my wife, and then my wife and son, but before that, just my wife, you know, we had season tickets, was part of my package with the Sundogs, and so she would come to the games, and then as I tend to do when I forget things or I lose things or whatever, I would text her during the game, say, "Hey, I forgot something in the car. Can you bring it up?" And she just got so sick of, "What do you want now?" was her response every time I texted her. And sometimes it was just like, "Hey, how are you? The ticket's good? Do you want me to bring..."
No. You were just trying to maintain enough goodwill so she would still get you that stuff.
No, exactly. It was like one out of every 10 was just a, "Hey, did you see that play?" But it got to the point, like, the second, third year in, where I would be in the press box, and I would text her, and the seats she had were right, you know, 15 rows away.
Yeah.
But you couldn't hear, you know, I couldn't holler at her, just like Ken couldn't hear me. But so I would text her, and I would see her do this. And for those of you listening, this is what she would do. She would pull her phone. I would text her. She'd pull her. Oh, Ken just texted me back, which is something my wife never did. He blew me a kiss. Thank you for the emoji, Ken.
What do you expect? Hi, handsome. I would, dude. I'm just like, I don't like, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know, like, if you've ever seen Matt Santos, but if Matt Santos showed up, like, kind of texted you and went, "Hi, handsome," you too would, like, you know, kind of keep a little distance.
Well, knowing Ken Byers as I do, I'm surprised he actually did an emoji. I was expecting an actual photograph of something else, and I'm glad he limited it to an emoji. Blow me a kiss. But anyway, so what I would do is I would text my wife, and this is what she would do. I would be looking at her, and 30 seconds after I text her, she would reach in her purse, look at her phone, and then put it back in her pocket. So then I would call her, and she would look at her phone and put it back in her pocket or in her purse. So Josie Greer, who was a little gal from Chino High that would help us out. What? And then I can, because we do this radio friendly language, I cannot read you the next text that Ken.
Well, say I can give it here.
No, so I'm he
who shall be bleeped.
I would tell Josie. I would say, "Hey, Josie, do me a favor, call Sandra." She goes, "Why?" I go, "Just call her." So she would call her, and then we would watch Sandra pick up her phone and then proceed to answer it and go, "Hey, Josie, what's up?" And she go, "Hold on, Matt wants to talk to you." And she would then hand me her phone. But that was what it was like then. And now, since we're not in an arena, when I text my wife when I'm sitting on the couch and she's down the hall, she just plain doesn't answer and then puts her phone on silence and then yells at me, "Why are you texting me? You're 20 feet away." And it's just for fun.
Well, she has a point. She has a point. Yeah, I'm just saying.
We get unlimited texting on our plans.
The thing is, Matt, you know, there's a difference between good attention and bad attention. You know, you really need to learn that. You know,
look, I bought a $500 recorder and microphones just because I needed any kind of attention whatsoever.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please email, like, do the show, like, give Matt a little attention so that he will leave his poor wife alone and let her, like, you know, have some peace.
So let's get back. What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about cruising around downtown last night. I had not been out in so long.
You went to the
really
open mic,
odd.
Right?
Yeah, I went to the open mic at Granite Mountain Coffee.
He was going to do a set, ladies and gentlemen. He was going to do a set.
I'm thinking about doing that again. I had, about a year ago, I got asked to introduce a local comic who's no longer in the area. He rented out a hall and was doing a little, working out some new material. He would frequently, Dan the Brit comic, Dan Nightingale, the Brit comedy doc was what he bills himself as. He's a doctor. He is a dementia and Alzheimer's specialist.
Which is why he hangs out with Matt Santos, ladies and gentlemen.
I was not so much a friend as a case study, but he did stand-up comedy. He was from Great Britain. He had been here a number of years and was doing comedy in the clubs and open mics and some of the new faces down in Tempe and in Phoenix, doing a lot of the clubs, and did a stretch through California. Anyway, he lived in Chino and was trying to generate some interest in some comedy shows in this area, which we very rarely have. So he rented out a room in Chino, a meeting hall, and was going to run through about 45 to an hour just to work out some new material. And he asked me to just introduce him, you know, welcome the people who came to the show. There was a couple of dozen. There was, you know, 30 or so people there. And he goes, "If you could just come in and kind of introduce me, that way I don't go into a cold opening, and read off my website and plug the podcast if you'd like." And no problem. From doing the podcast, doing radio, a microphone is not strange to me. It's, you know, I can often have a conversation in a microphone. So I told
by
him
himself.
Yes, I would. Yeah, a lot of times by myself.
Himself.
So what I told him, sure, I'll introduce you and thank everybody, remind them to turn off their cells, and, you know, the drinks are over there and they're, you know, whatever. So a couple days go by, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm tagged in a post from the Brit comedy doc, Dan Nightingale, who is no longer in the area. He is thousands of miles away in New York. And he tags me in this post and says, it's an event page for this comedy show he's doing, and it says opening act Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. And I immediately pick up the phone and call him. I go, "What are you talking? Opening act?" What do you-? He goes, "Well, can you do like 3 or 4 minutes?" I go, "Well, you know, the intros and the announcements of turn off your cell and there's the drinks and welcome to the show will take about 2.5. Okay, I can be humorous for 30 seconds. Another week goes by. This is, you know, a month out, 2 months out for the show. Another week goes by, and he tags me again. He goes, "The first 15 minutes will be Matt performing his stand-up." I go, "I don't do stand-up." Now, I had done
stand-up. Yes, you did.
I had done stand-up decades ago in San Francisco. I did some open mics, and I did it pretty regular for about 8 months or so, but in no way, shape, or form would I consider myself a stand-up comic, especially since all this was, you know, 30 years ago. And so I didn't quite know what I was going to do, and I was kind of panicking leading up to the show. And I told him, I said, "You'll be
yes,
lucky."
Yes, he was.
I said, "You'll get...
You're coming." He goes, "Les, you're coming, right?"
And he didn't
and
show up.
And I didn't show up.
Matt Hinshaw did, though. And this is what happened. So leading up to it, I told him, I said, "I'm not doing 50. I'll do 4 or 5 minutes. I'll get you 5 minutes." And he goes, "Well, go as long as you want. There's really no, it's no structured show." It was mainly him. It wasn't like we had time to fill. So I figured if I can do between 5 and 7, I'd be okay. Well, I went through and I wrote out a couple of bits and more of a storyteller thing than an actual comedy routine. It wasn't set up joke. So I worked through, and then I pulled out my recorder in the garage. You know, I kind of did some testings just to make sure the pacing and the cadence was okay. And it was, put it this way, it was a good solid 6 minutes of a laugh or two. Like I said, I had nothing to lose. I'm not a comic, so if they don't laugh, oh well. And it wasn't jokes, it was more storyteller stuff, yeah. So I was okay.
You have to realize that there's a difference between being a comic and being funny. Okay. comics are funny on purpose. You know? You know, comics are funny on purpose. People like you and me were just kind of witty. You know, we kind of come up with bon mots and stuff. You know, but the comics actually think about this stuff and put, you know, have things to say, axes to grind. You know, they understand they're doing psychological things. You know,
what happened? This will tell you when it was. If you could pull the date, I would not be that surprised because I know. Your fondness for politics and news, yeah. But the show was on a Friday night, and Thursday afternoon I'm typing out some stuff and I'm working on some things. Well, that night was when the Great Britain pulled out of the EU.
Yeah, that was Brexit.
Brexit. So, I'm performing with opening for a British comedian. And I didn't really think about it. And then Hinshaw shows up a little earlier before the show. And I don't remember when it was, just for kicks.
That was a long time ago.
For kicks, say it was 6 o'clock. The show was good. The doors were going to open. So at 5 o'clock, Hinshaw and I are sitting out in the parking lot. Then we go in, grab something to drink, and we're in the back of this event center meeting room. It's My Place 89 in Chino Valley. A really nice spot. Holds about 60 if you put it up for, meeting sittings. But they got a couple rooms in the back, like little offices. So Hinshaw and I are sitting back there about an hour beforehand, and I start thinking, and I threw out everything that I had prepared. And I just started thinking about Great Britain and the Brit comedy doc. And I spun, once I got out there, I spun what I thought was about 8 or 9 minutes on tying in local politics to world politics, because I cover local politics kicking and screaming for local media and for social media here. I'm pretty ingrained in small town politics with Chino Valley. So I kind of spun some of the things they're going with and made some witty remarks, figuring I was going about between 7 and 10 minutes. When I was done, I had gone for 18 minutes, and it went pretty well. I mean, it did not. I got some laughs. I got some interaction with the small crowd that was there. I was extremely surprised to find out that I went for that long. I happened to record it on my little micro recorder, not what we do the podcast on, but a little pocket USB recorder. Yeah. And I listened to it later, and granted, it was not what I would consider a strong, solid 15, 16. Yeah. But it was not as embarrassing as I thought it was. Now, one of the jokes that I did mention was not really a joke at all. It was recollecting the last time I was on stage doing comedy.
Oh, I remember this story. This is
in the 80s. I was at a little bar in San Francisco for an open mic, and I went up very late in the evening, and there was a young lady in the front row who had started drinking early in the afternoon, I would imagine, and continued to aggressively drink beverages throughout the evening in the show.
She got to look at you and just like started ordering bottles, like whole bottles of.
But the stage was not so much a stage as a very small platform, about maybe 8 inches tall, and it was very small. It was maybe a 5x6 footer, or you know what it probably was, a 4x8. Stage, because it was probably made out of one piece of plywood, is, you know, that's probably how they constructed it. But it was about eight to ten inches off the ground, which meant I was basically standing at their table in the front row where this drunk gal was sitting. And as I went
she
up,
she was ready for you.
And as I went up and said, "Hey, thanks for coming. My name is Matt." She projectile vomited all over my shoes. And
it's
I looked
so hard
down,
not to spoil this story.
And
it's
I looked down and I said, this was, as I said, the last time I performed stand-up comedy in up until last year. And I looked down and I was immediately able to tell what she had eaten for lunch. And it was all because it was all over my shoes and my pant legs.
Now,
so
what I forget, did you sympathy vomit?
No. Okay. I was.
Well, that would have been even better.
Had I not been self-medicated in the main medication I was taking back in the late 80s, I probably would have. But my teeth were grinding so hard together while I was on stage. I don't think even if I would have puked, it would have came out of my mouth. That was a time long, long ago when I used to self-medicate myself quite a bit.
No, it's just strictly coffee.
Just strictly coffee. And powdered caffeine.
Powdered caffeine.
It was fun that night about a year ago. I do often sit down and talk with comics, some locally that go down to perform in Phoenix, and some in the Phoenix area. Gone out to California a couple of times to interview folks out there. So I'm around the comedy scene, not a whole lot, but you know, a weekend or so every month or 6 weeks.
Well, you know, that's kind of a lot. If you stop and look at all the stuff that's kind of a lot.
But I enjoy it. A lot of people that listen to the show, and granted, when people listen to the Mile High Show, I know they're not tuning in to listen to me. They're tuning in, they're downloading because of the guests I have and the guests that I tag on social media and that, or, you know, as word gets around. Like we had mentioned Wes Williams we talked to out in the parking lot. Had him on a couple of times. Some of the comics I have get big spikes. I get big spikes in downloads from those because of who I'm talking with. It's not like they're following the show and going, I wonder who he has on this
week. You don't
think
some of that stuff doesn't rub off on the show?
Well, no, it does. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but it's primarily who I'm talking with.
The Mile High Show, the Mile High Show gets stuff. Look, it's quality stuff. I want you, as long as we're talking about comedy, I want you to work up, I swear to you, a bit about your last trip to California.
I want to talk to you about that. Did you listen to that podcast that I did on the Santa Monica Pier?
I did. I don't think so.
He's a unofficial official co-host of the show, and he doesn't even listen to it.
Well, you know, it's like the guy that Matt puts out stuff every week. you know, because you should when you do a podcast. And sadly, I am not always like got 2 hours to like sit and listen to like the show. But that, ladies and gentlemen, that I swear to you, I think that is going to be like that's going to be your set. That's going to be what's going to get you on like on the Tonight Show.
We'll talk about it in just a second, as well as the aftermath of that weekend I came home Monday. But anyway, what I was getting at as far as what drives the audience to the show is there are people that listen fairly regular, but again, they're not listening because of the show going, oh, I wonder who he has on now. They're listening because of who I interviewed. They're following those tags and those things.
I think that they know it's, but they know people watch the Tonight Show because it's the Tonight Show.
No, but what I'm getting at is they listen because of who I tag, so they assume, there are some people who assume I only have comics on this show.
Oh, I see.
Because they only listen when they see their friends or their people they follow. Yeah. There are people that are convinced this is a politics show because they've listened to the 5 or 6 episodes where I've had local politicians. There are a larger portion of the listeners who are convinced I am a music podcast because they only listen to the music.
I can speak to that from like my viewpoint as a guy that plays music. It's the funniest thing. Like you will play like people will see you play blues, right? You know, like for a show, and they figure that's what you do because you sat in with this blues band,
exactly,
or that's what
you.
And then you'll turn around and do like something else, and they're like, well, they're just completely blown away. And the funny thing is that like they don't always like you.
Never like me.
Well, there's that. You know, but they don't always like you to be versatile. You know, it's like I was listening to the guy, I forget his name, but he's the guy that started Island Records. He was doing a I think it was on NPR. He was talking about Robert Palmer. I don't know if you remember Robert Palmer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, he said Robert Palmer, Robert Palmer's biggest problem is that he liked all this stuff, you know. A Robert Palmer album would come out and would have a little of this and a little of that and a little of the other. And people would just...
I hear he often had a problem grinding his teeth.
Well, there's that too. You know, there's that too. Well, you know, dude, you know, that was a different time. Anyway... but you know, people like frequently, you know, like they will go, oh, this is interesting. This is what I'm interested in. But you know, when you have a show like this, I think that you can do that. But if you're like someone's buying an album, you know, and then you have a Sinatra song and a rock song and a this song and that song, you know,
a little too eclectic.
Yeah, it's like because, you know, pick a thing, but because of what you do. Because of what you do, it gives an opportunity for, you know, guys like, you know, for you to do that stuff, things that are what's interesting in the area. And there's a lot of people that do a lot of interesting stuff up here.
Yeah.
You know, I think so. I mean, Northern Arizona in general. You know, example, last night when I was at Far From Folsom, and the reason I was there after seeing Kevin was that a band that I really like from Flagstaff, Texola, came down. And I was talking to Rich Bowen about it's 2 hours one way, so I know the guy love the way he plays and we like each other. We never get to see each other because it's 2 hour, you know, it's like 4 hour round trip, man. You have to it's like a camping expedition, you know? It's like a camping expedition, but you know, I mean, it's that much. There's good stuff up there, good stuff in Chino, good stuff here, good stuff like Gosh and Will Hoyt, you know, or Page or whatever, you know, where you go. And so it's like this is a good content aggregator, you know, because like you got to do a podcast.
Hey, we'll drop in the sponsor right now.
Oh yeah,
I forgot. This is today's show is brought to you by the Bird City Comedy Festival that is taking place this coming weekend in Phoenix. Speaking of entertainment and comedy, they've got some big names coming through. Greg Barron, for one, is the main headliner, and then a couple of dozen area-based and nationally-based comics that are coming around to feature at the Bird City venues all throughout Phoenix. BirdCityComedyFestival.com. Yeah,
4 days, man.
Let's see. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's links in the show notes for that. So check out Bird City. There's going to be several podcasts being recorded in and around the Renaissance in Phoenix. Some storyteller shows, some music put on. Mishka Shubali will be there performing. JT Habersat. We'll be doing comedy and some improv and some sketch troops as well. It'll be a lot of fun. Bird City, Comedy Festival, the second annual, I had the opportunity. We were talking earlier about the
opportunity
talking
to
comics and that, and I had the opportunity to cover that last year. We didn't do a podcast. I don't think we did a podcast down there,
no.
But I did photographs for the festival, and I'll be doing that again. What's Wes waving at? I'll be doing that again this...
Wes Williams, ladies and gentlemen, inserting...
Oh, he's blown his kisses. Maybe he's been talking to Ken Byers.
That's funny.
But I did the photographs for it last year. Doing it again, they are very... Some of the organizers there and a lot of the comics are also intertwined with the Big Pine Comedy Festival, which takes place in the fall of each year. The second annual was this past September. And they're coming up again this coming September of 2017. So some of the same organizers, some of the same comics. That is a three-day festival, Big Pine Comedy Festival. Great time out there. We had a blast. We actually did a podcast out there. I did last year. And looking forward to being out there again. We'll be doing photographs again, sitting in on some shows. And what I was getting, they do both festivals have their set shows that are all pre-arranged and pre-booked and everything.
Yeah.
But they also have an open mic, the Little Bird night, and then the Big Pine
was. Both shows have an open mic?
Yeah, to where anybody can sign in, and if you succeed in
there. I wonder who
there,
might be thinking no, about
thinking
doing something
about it.
I
don't know that I will, but I'm thinking
about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, flood milehighshow.com with requests for a recorded live stand-up set by Mansantos.
And
help me in like making him get on stage.
Again, not so much geared towards comedy. What I'm really excited about is the storyteller sections, because that is something I'd like to participate in. Again, I writing jokes takes a lot of time and effort. Telling a story sometimes doesn't. So, yeah, I'm watching. What's he doing?
We're watching this guy Skype, like he's doing FaceTime with his girlfriend or something. When he's supposed to be working, I'm not going to say who he's working for.
Prescott Pro Sound.
Oh, you said it, man.
Teddy's in California. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
I believe
all good,
he's in
then.
Cal.
That's all good.
But I want to start participating in some of those storyteller events, not just at the festivals, because those are pretty well set. Mm. And they've got guys, Danny LaBelle, who I like calling the Podfather. He is like the original podcaster from way back when.
But you can't just do that without the music, man. You have to do the music.
Danny LaBelle is an outstanding stand-up comic and storyteller. He's been featured on This American Life. He's been on the Porch Light Theater, I believe. And he's also been on, what's the other one?
You said The Moth?
The Moth, yeah. Okay. But his story that was featured on This American Life was, and I've heard him tell it live, but...
What's that about? Because I listen to that a lot.
He is talking about living in an apartment, and I believe with either Cuban or Puerto Rican neighbors, and
wow.
they had chicken fights down in the basement of the apartment building, and he had a chicken that he was going to raise for eggs, and then he realized it was actually a rooster, and he ended up raising it to kill it and eat it, you know, as a roaster.
Yeah.
And then he got so attached to it, he just kept it as a pet, and how him and his Puerto Rican neighbors were trying to hide it from the landlord in the floorboards, and it's just a hilarious story.
And chickens are not quiet.
But
I think that'd be great for you. I think what you ought to do is like, but not do stand up. What you ought to do is get like a big comfy chair. Okay, you need a big comfy chair and like kind of roll it on stage, and then get in it, and then get yourself like a big big cup of coffee, right? You know, big cup of coffee, and then like an unlit cigar of some kind, you know, and just kind of sit there.
Can
and,
I wear it?
You know, just kind of
silk robe.
You know, this is getting better. Do you see what a great idea this is? You could do that. You could do that. You could get the big comfy chair and like, you know, and then just kind of sit there and tell a story from that. You could be a sit down comic.
Well,
the world's first sit down comic. I'm just saying. No? Okay.
No. I wanted to get, and then we're going to cut this, and we'll probably record another one. Well, since we're
like,
here.
Like like we need more.
Well, no, because I got to cut this. I got to cut this one to keep within some reasonable time frames. But before we do,
ladies and gentlemen, the thing is Matt and I do this all the time. We just don't record it.
if you want to go back, and if you haven't listened to it, Les and anybody else who might still be listening, go back on the MileHighShow.com page and go to the past shows. It was about 3 or 4 shows ago. I did a trip to Southern Cal.
Best story ever.
I did a trip to Southern Cal, and it was just a nightmare. It was we got there during one of the biggest floods in Southern Cal.
No. When he says we, this like not only did he see, this is a perfect story that only a dad can tell, because not only did he get his own immediate family, his wife and kid involved in this, but he actually got like his brother-in-law
his two
involved
kids
in this stuff, and it was all his fault.
It was all fault.
No, dude. Everybody looked at you. Tell me, everybody didn't look at you.
All right, let's get this is an unofficial non-sponsor. Let me pull up my phone.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you
it's
who
awesome.
You, it I'm going to tell you who you should never, ever, ever stay with. Yeah. The weekend ended up settling down, and I tell you, I had the time of my life at the Comedy Store, the world famous Comedy Store in Hollywood. My buddy and comedian, nationally headlining comedian Steve Simone, took me on a little tour of the club and got to hang out with him in the comics only bar.
Man, he was
back.
Comedy geeking at a level
I
that
was,
most
man.
People can only dream of.
Got to sit and have a very brief conversation with Pauly Shore and Matt Edgar, and got to see Earl Skakel perform. Bill Burr, got to see him live
on
stage.
Oh, man, that's the one thing I'm jealous of. I love that guy.
You know what one of the big highlights was?
What's that?
I was sitting down watching other comics next to Tom. Me and Tom Rhodes sitting in the back. Me and Brody Stevens sitting there sharing a little table together, watching Don Barris and Barry Crimmins interact on stage at 2:30 in the morning.
How cool is that?
And I Steve allowed me and introduced me to the door guys, allowed me the freedom to kind of rove in and about the show, the original room, the main room, and the belly, and just kind of float around. What? Come on up, Ken. Come on up.
No, Ken.
It's
no, Ken.
Called an elevator. I know they
no,
didn't
Ken,
have
Ken,
it when you
Ken
were a
is
kid.
Like, Ken needs a he needs a compass.
Yeah,
like, there he goes.
He can come up. There's elevators.
He's been
I know.
How long has he been working here?
I don't know, 75, like, 80 years.
Yeah, he's like trying to figure out which way to go.
He went to high school with Marconi.
No, he can't go that way. This is good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Now he's going to stop and talk to somebody. If I was him, man, like what he ought to be doing is like going over to the hors d'oeuvres and bringing us some food.
But what this is what I got a chance to do. This is what I got a chance to do was to go in from the original room to the main room and stand in the hallway of the main room, the big showroom, while Bill Burr was performing.
How cool is that? Yeah.
And I'm standing this close, and I'm touching elbows.
Don't touch me, man. He's touching me.
I was standing that close to Jay Larson, comic and host of the Crab Feast with Ryan Sickler, one of my favorite comics.
Cool.
I'm standing right next to him, and he looked over at me. And I saw him. We just kind of caught eyes because we were both sneaking in, kind of sneaking around just to see Bill Burr. When Bill Burr takes the stage, everybody goes. They leave and go see him. And Larson just looked at me, and I said, hey Jay, big fan. You going on soon? He goes, yeah, I'll be in the OR in about an hour. And then
explain to people what the OR is.
The original room.
Okay.
And then he looks at me. Jay Larson looks at me and goes, isn't this the coolest?
Okay,
and
okay. Now, like, here comes the next victim.
Ken, we were just talking about you.
Man, that food looks awesome.
It's smelling good.
I know.
So we got Ken Byers from KPPV in Arizona Hometown Radio Group. Just I think that's the one. I'm probably saying the wrong one. I know he's with KPPV, KDDL.
I'm just wearing a KQNA, KPPV,
but I can't
shirt.
Remember if they're the Arizona Hometown Radio Group or. It doesn't really matter because he didn't come on the show. I've been wanting to sit.
He did come up and verbally abuse Matt, and I wish you could have heard it because it was awesome.
I want Ken to come up, and I want to do a whole episode with Ken also. Can you see where Ken's sitting? We're upstairs at the Prescott Valley Event Center.
We're like vultures Ken, up here.
Ken is sitting right in front of us down, and then if you see the guy in the gray sport coat that's sitting there, right, that's DJ Phone, Dave Phone, who does the afternoon talk and interview show just before my show that I do over there. He does 3 to 4. I do 4 to 5.
Yeah.
But Dave has agreed to be on the show. We just haven't solidified the date, but I want to get Dave Phone, DJ Phone, on because he's just got some great stories, and he has a lot of fun telling stories. Ken, because of his position with the radio station, I don't know that he wants to come on the podcast, but we've talked about it. But if I can, I just want to get Ken on for a full hour. But let's close out this. We had a great time talking with Catfish from the Prescott Valley Event Center as are getting ready for the Voila Tour. France comes to Arizona, and we also were able to, at Catfish's request, he was able to bring Drew Reinowitz from Chino Valley up. Yeah. She'll be performing later on. Yeah,
that's going to be awesome.
I had a great time talking with her. I would also love to sit down with her for a full show. But before we do, like we said, we were brought to you this week by the Bird City Comedy Festival, which is taking place in Phoenix this weekend, as well as Amazon. Go on to the Amazon link at milehighshow.com for all your online shopping. We get a little piece of the action. And BarkBox. Use those links right there at milehighshow.com to get free stuff. We are not brought to you this week. This is the non-sponsor, and I needed to pull this up. That's why we killed the mic there for a minute, because I had to pull this up on my phone. Where did it go now? We are not brought to you by the LAX Suites in Inglewood, the worst hotel in the world.
No, it's not. Trust me. It's the worst hotel in America, maybe, but not in the world.
Trust me. Go back and listen to the podcast that I did when I was in LA at the Comedy Store. I recorded it on the the pier in Santa Monica. But it was great. It was a beautiful day. The day after some really heavy rains. And I sat and recorded a podcast just by myself, hearing the waves crash and everything. And I told the stories about what happened at the LAX Suites in Inglewood, right by the by LAX. A horrible, horrible experience.
It's so funny. We are not brought to you
by them. We are also not brought to you by the American Inn and Suites in Inglewood, where the carpet was as fuzzy as the mildew on the bathroom wall.
And what internet application sent you to that place?
Hotels.com, who I still use. I like Hotels.com. They're simple to use. But the hotels normally are no frills. They've got everything from top of the line, which I never stay at, to the no frills, that are usually decent.
They're usually chunky free, you know.
No, they're not, nothing fancy. These two LAX Suites the American Inn and Suites, both in Inglewood, are pits. They are horrible. They are as bad as the hell described in the joke that was told off mic by Ken Byers. They were just as bad. Never stay at the LAX Suites in Inglewood or the American Inn and Suites in Inglewood. Never, ever stay there, even if they comp you the rooms, because the exposed live wiring coming out of the walls and the food and clothing left over from the previous guests were not suitable. So that's
not suitable for what?
this has been episode 130 of the Mile High Show. Thank you, Les Lyman, for sitting down and talking with me.
Leslie Earl Lyman. Not a serial killer. I can't even
Catfish
say it.
Catfish Atelli, and of course, Drew Reinowitz. Yeah. Thanks for taking time. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk at you soon.